Broadcasting from Baltimore, Maryland, this is 5x3 Radio, where strength is for everyone. I'm your host, Emily Sokolinski, owner of 5x3 Training, a strength and conditioning gym in Baltimore, along with my co-host, Rebecca Fishburn, founder of Cornerstone Strength Maryland. Each week, Rebecca and I will discuss the ins and outs of strength training, why there is a no one-size-fits-all approach, and why strength is so important in our daily lives. Thanks for spending some time with us today. Now, on with the show. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to 5x3 Radio. Rebecca and I are here.
Hello.
It's very warm this week. I'm not quite happy about the fact that the temperature went from lovely 60 degrees last week to now we're back in the 80s this week.
Yeah, I'm not minding it.
My hat was on my head last week. It's not on my head this week, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's like the sadness of being a knitter. Like, when do you actually get to wear your hat?
I know. I have all these hats.
All of the things that you've knitted all summer long.
See, I'm working on my next hat right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too happy, but it'll go back down again. I'm not worried about that. It better, or else I will be in that gym with a hat on and a sweatshirt, sweating my little butt off and not care. People are like, Emily, it's kind of like 80 degrees in here. I'm like, it's October 15th. I don't care. It's fall. God damn it. It's fall already.
Give me my pumpkin spice.
My pumpkin spice latte. I don't drink pumpkin spice latte, by the way. I don't do that. I don't think I've ever had one of those. I don't think I ever will. I have been in touch with our friend, Dr. Fred Houts. So he is where I have to talk to you about that. So we're going to try to schedule a time to get to have him on the podcast soon. So
I like how you tell the audience about this before you tell me.
Well, I figured Rebecca and I would discuss this. We're discussing it now. So we've been trying to get him on the podcast. Everyone's life is busy. So we'll throw on some dates after the podcast. And we had a great, great, great response from one of our listeners who sent me a wonderful message with a variety of topics. And I love it. You know, someone who actually has something, you know, in mind, like please talk about this. So we thought we would pick one of the topics that he messaged us and discuss spotting. We've talked about safety in the gym on the last podcast, bench safety, squat safety. And we spent a lot of time on discussing how to set up your rack for, you know, squatting and benching and what to do and what not to do. But I guess we didn't go into too much detail about actual spotting.
Yeah. So, and like one of the things that I was sort of thinking about that, like when I first started with this, I had mm-hmm. ideas of what spotting was like based on videos I'd seen on, you know, wherever, YouTube, Facebook, whatever. And like when I showed up at a gym, when I showed up at 5x3 and there were safety arms, it didn't jive with what I was expecting. I was expecting like this, you know, really muscular guy behind me hugging me while I was coming up out of the hole. Like that's the way it looks in the videos. I was like, whoa, this was not what I was sold on.
It's, you know, you see a lot of different ways that people will spot each other. You have that image of like the guy behind the girl, like grabbing her chest to haul her up. And you're like, is that really cool? Like, I don't know about that. I kind of don't know that. I don't know if she likes that. She might like it. I don't know if I like it.
But maybe it's nice.
Maybe it's nice. Maybe he's her husband or, you know, boyfriend or a friend, you know, and they have like a way of, you know, spotting each other. No, you know, and that's the big joke about, you know, benching, like, you know, you're benching and your friend's doing the upright row as he's, you know, as you're benching. It's like, oh, you man, it's all you. And basically he's doing an upright row. So he's getting a workout in while the other person's getting a workout in. So we want to dispel all those things that you might have in mind about what does spotting actually entail. And it's not just the spotter, but I was discussing this with Rebecca before we started the podcast, kind of getting our thoughts together, but the lifter has a responsibility too. And we don't often discuss that. And we're definitely going to go into detail about that. So we're focusing pretty much on just squatting and benching because there's no real way to spot a deadlift. You will see people at a meet, a competition, like a powerlifting meet, where there is somebody maybe behind the deadlifter. Sometimes people get, you know, if they're picking up their heaviest weight, they might start to lose some air, possibly if they're holding their breath or they lean back pretty far to really lock those hips in and they may lose their balance. I don't think anyone's really done that, but that's the reason.
Also where, like, you know, Facebook and YouTube don't necessarily match with reality.
No.
In real life have I seen anyone pass out after deadlifting, but you see loads of videos like people legs and falling down after they do the heavy deadlift.
You do see people vomiting after a deadlift. Like they'll finish it and they'll vomit on the judge in front of them or something like that. That's kind of disgusting. So, you know, really maybe they should put like a shield, some kind of like face shield, you know, so they don't get vomited on. But that's why you might see somebody behind the person at a meet. Spotting an overhead press. Can't really spot an overhead press. So there's not, you know, we don't really talk about that, but benching and spotting definitely. So we thought we'd just kind of like take both. Rebecca, would you like to take bench and I can take squat, or should we just kind of like, and then we can jump in with each other?
Let's do it the other way around. Why don't you do squat and you start?
You know, she always does this to me.
Yeah, it's because you're always trying to make me go first.
This is true. She's figured it out for 3 years. Okay, so
it's
squatting.
Nice of you to offer, Emily.
I always feel like, you know, I start the podcast, so I like want to let Rebecca talk too, but somehow I get, you know, she's figured it out. So we'll start with squat. So we spoke about the spotter arms and the need to address, you know, either being inside the rack. If you're working in a power rack, you can squat inside, you can squat outside if you have spotter arms outside of your rack too, but you definitely want to make sure that those spotter arms are set appropriately. We discussed this last time about when you lower down and you find you can't come up, you should be able to just drop that bar just a couple inches or so and kind of crawl out from under that bar very, very safely. You never want to throw the bar off your back. People do. If you have iron plates, definitely not a no-no. Bumpers still, you know, just try to, you know, you're trying to be smart about how you're, and be safe too, and just make sure you're not going to hurt somebody behind you as well. But if you don't have spotter arms, let's say you don't have spotter arms, and you're at a gym where obviously, you know, people, you could talk to people and ask them about spotting you. You want to have two spotters, one on either side of you. Having someone behind you, unless they understand that they're going to look at the bar or watch the bar and not watch you. We talked about that kind of like having your arms underneath the person or holding their chest. I never like that. I don't want to interfere with someone while they're lifting. I feel like that's a real invasive,
distracting.
You know, it's distracting. Yeah. I'd be afraid of, I touch the, I don't know. That just doesn't seem safe, but, and really you should be in reality watching the bar. Yes, you're looking at the lift, you're kind of following them, but you're following the bar. So ideally you're standing on either side of the bar, following, watching the plates and ready to grab the plate, the plates, and help them get back into the rack if they just, if they're going to miss a lift, right? At a competition, you might see three people. You might have somebody behind you. Again, it's to watch the bar, to help the lifter up safely and back into the rack. You don't have to necessarily squat down with the person. You see people doing that, kind of squatting with the squatter, with the lifter. It's okay to move with them, but really you're watching the plate. So you want to just kind of be standing in a position where if something were to go wrong, you could easily grab the plates, help them up, and then help them back into the rack. Now, that's the spotter. What should the lifter be doing? The lifter should not let go of that bar. Not let the spotters take hold of all the weight. So if you're going to miss, if you're missing a lift and you're under the bar, yes, it's kind of scary. You're down there. You've got your spotters. They've learned that they need to watch the plates. You should kind of relax and relax your mind, I should say, and stand up with them. So you're coming down. You can't quite get up. They're taking the weight of that bar. You still have some weight on you. Follow them up and into the rack. Don't allow them to completely take the weight of the bar. That's going to, obviously that could hurt them and it could hurt you. And that's not what a spotter is there for, right? They're there to help you get safely back in the rack, but you're also there to help the spotter not injure him or herself. Right. And I see people doing that. I've had that happen to me. Usually it's with my, like some of my newer lifters who are kind of, they freak out and I'm behind them and also they can't come up and it's not weight that's going to really hurt them, but all of a sudden they just kind of like let go, like their hands come off the, and I'm standing there holding a, you know, holding a bar, maybe it's like 75 or 85 pounds in my hand. And I have to tell them, don't do that. Don't let go of the bar and put it in my hands. You know, that's not appropriate. That's not correct. It's not etiquette, but you have to teach people what is safety etiquette, right? that's something that I try to definitely instill in my lifters. Rebecca's going to discuss the bench, but I definitely want to tack on something about benching and being
Sure. I mean, the idea being in either case, like bench or squat, like what's happening is the lifter still has responsibility for a percentage of the weight of the bar. The spotters are helping to lift up a percentage of the weight of the bar. However, that ends up, you know, working out mathematically. I don't think
right
to say exactly, but like, you know, not, you're all working together as a team.
Yes. Eventually. Yes. And the lifter should understand that. And someone who's competing, if they're definitely, they've been competing for a while, they are quite aware of what the responsibility of the lift of the spotters are. Right. So they're missing a lift. They got to stay with it. They stay with it. And you see it's easily lifted up and back into the rack. I think you mentioned last time, Rebecca, about the lifter who went to a meet and didn't realize that. And it was like,
and CrossFit, trained in a gym with no spotter mm-hmm. arms and no spotters, and was like, habit was to throw the bar off.
Yes. Back. Yes. Which is really, really scary because when you go to a meet, you've got three or four possibly people around you. I mean, I know that when we have our meets, our Stronger Together meet, I'll usually have at least two lifters, right? My spotters, you know, they're working really hard. They're watching you. They're there loading your bar, making sure the appropriate weight's on the bar. They're there to help you. You throw a bar off your back because that's your habit. I mean, you're immediately disqualified. I mean, that's just bad etiquette. It's just bad form. But if you've been lifting like that and practicing, you're not even going to think about it.
And so, that's the place, like if that's what you've been practicing, when you get into that like little moment of panic that happens when you're like, oh shit, I'm not coming up out of the hole.
Yeah.
That's what you're likely to default to.
Yeah. And I think an educated lifter who is training, who hasn't been used to training with a spotter or spotter arms, should prepare maybe 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks, give them time to learn how to lift with a spotter.
Yeah. Build a new habit.
Build a new habit. It's like learning. It's like practicing the commands, right? If you don't practice the commands and you go to a powerlifting meet and you miss the press command or you miss the start command on the bench, and they don't care how much bench you're benching, you miss the lift. Even if you make the lift, you've missed the lift if you jump the start command or you jump the press command, same with the squat, right? If you jump any of the commands, ignore them, and you've made the lift, it's still red lights because you didn't listen to the commands. It's kind of silly. I mean, I don't really necessarily agree with having commands, but it is what it is. You have to practice. You have to build that into your training. Same with learning how to correctly miss a lift. Learning how to miss a lift is important if you're going to compete. And if you're not going to compete, if learning how to miss is appropriate and should be part of your training, if you're training in an environment where you either don't have spotter arms, you need to learn how to use a spotter, or the racks are taken. So you've got a squat outside of a squat stand, right? Squat stands don't typically have any, there's no spotters there. So if someone's lifting in my gym and they are using the squat stands, and they're lifting heavy weight, we're going to make a point of, you know, grabbing somebody to spot them, right? Because I don't want them to, if they miss, there's nothing there. I mean, there are no safeties there. So they have to get actual people to be their spotters. But it is ultimately the lifter's responsibility too, to be aware of what they have to do if they miss a lift, right? And allow and help them and make sure that their spotters are safe as they're trying to get the weight back into the rack. And I don't think we think about that, right? We forget that we are the ones responsible, right? It's also a good idea too, if you're going to ask somebody to spot you or two people to spot you, maybe tell them how many reps you're going for. One, two, whatever it is, so that they're aware. So they're even aware, like, okay, the person's going to do a single. Great. Got it. Or they're going for five. Okay. I got to be even more aware of what they're doing, right? So that's a good rule. To make sure that your lifters, your spotters know how many reps you're planning on doing. So if they get to that third rep and they see it's kind of something starting to falter, they'll know, okay, this is the last one. So we're going to help them back in the rack, or because they don't want you to hurt them. They don't want you to hurt yourself. And they also, they don't want to get injured too.
I mean, and that's sort of the thing, like most often if somebody isn't going to make a lift, the spotter will see some indication on the right. on the return. So they'll the lift will start to slow down, or they hit the sticky spot or whatever. So there's a big difference between you as the spotter expecting five out of a person, and you as and they get hung up on three. Like then the expectation would be maybe they are going to finish that third rep, but then they're going to rack it. If it got right. stuck after that.
Right. Right.
Say, okay, well, maybe today's just not the day for that.
Right.
If they
right.
were planning on two more.
Yeah. There's gotta be communication.
Yeah. yeah. That kind of, yeah. And then, you know, just as the spotter, you're watching for that slowing down or stickiness.
That's it. You're watching for them. You know, you're watching for them. You don't want to hover over them, right? You have to be, that's plenty important too. You don't want to stand on top of them. So as if you're spotting a lifter while they're squatting and you're standing like right where you could almost touch the plates with your body, bad idea. Don't do that. You know, beware, just kind of stand off to the side, give them space, give them room, and be mindful of what you're doing, right? You're watching them. They've put their trust in you. So you're just watching for that. You know, for that any kind of movement that doesn't look quite right, and you're looking at the weights, you're looking at the bar, and if they do falter, you're going to grab the plates, you're going to make sure that they come up safely, and you're going to walk them into the rack safely, right? That's your job. But I think people do get nervous. They get nervous. They stand really close, right? And they try, and they almost touch the bar too. Like their hands are like ready to go, and that's something similar that Rebecca is going to discuss on the bench. I don't have any more real thoughts about spotting the squat. Again, I don't ever spot somebody from behind, right? Maybe a new lifter, I might be like helping them walk back into the rack if they're still learning how to hold the bar. That's different. That's me kind of just making sure that they're aware of where the bar is.
But I don't consider that spotting. It's just more like when somebody's new at it, it's almost like their aim going back into the uprights is a little bit off.
Yes.
And sometimes like they'll bang a plate into the upright.
Yes.
You know, and so in that case, really, it's just kind of guiding them a little bit to the right,
exactly.
a little bit to the left.
And
it's not spotting.
Yes.
Or sometimes, you
yes.
know, when you're in that position and a person thinks they've got one side of their bar in the gym,
right.
but they've missed it,
right.
kind of helping,
right.
you know, from behind. You could kind of help get that side.
Yes,
that,
and I do that.
It's more guiding. It's not spotting.
Yeah, I do that a lot with any of my newer lifters or any of my if I am working one on one with somebody. I do make sure, usually an older lifter, I do make sure that they're walking the bar incorrectly, especially if someone's using like the safety bar, where it can be really cumbersome because there's so much, they're like the plates are off to the side and they're holding the bar in front of them. They might occasionally miss the J cup. So I'm going to guide that person in, but it's not spotty. It's just more guiding. And that's, again, that's something that a coach should be able to, you know, do easily, just kind of make sure to guide it and watch for the right and the left side of the bar, because I've guided somebody in and they've missed the left side and I have to go left side, you know, remind them to look for the uprights, not look for the J-cups, but look for the uprights. So you as a spotter need to learn how to, you know, also guide the person in looking for the uprights, and the lifters should be aware of how they're racking the bar too. And they know what to do if they, you know, if they end up missing a rep, which is why it's important to learn how to come out of the rack and how to go into the rack and be very deliberate with that and practice that over and over again, because, you know, as the weight gets heavier and things, you know, get harder, sometimes our brains kind of go, because, you know, we're nervous, we freak out. So we have to kind of brace ourselves, calm. We've got people helping us. Let me help them. So that's really what it is for, as far as, you know, spotting a squat, if you have actual humans there spotting you and not the spotter arms, right? Not the spotter arms. So, bench is something very similar to squat, and I'm going to let Rebecca take the lead there, and I'll chime in as needed.
Well, I mean, I guess there's kind of two ways you can spot bench, and the way you've just described spotting squat is what you would see more often in a meet. And that's so that, you know, if you had one spotter right at the lifter's head, that that person would obstruct the view of one of the judges. So,
right.
You know, in a meet, you're going to have spotters on either side, basically just like you've described with squat, where they're spotting the plates. Right. I think, you know, if you're lifting in a gym, you might have a similar situation. If you had somebody doing a really heavy bench, maybe you would have two people spotting them that way. But more often than not, when you're in a gym or your own space lifting and you have a spotter, that person is going to be just at your head, just behind you. And then sometimes, you know, it's nice to be able to get a lift off from them. Again, like you're talking about with squat, the communication is key. So not only how many reps you're going for, but if you're going to ask that spotter for a lift off, that you know, like, okay, on my count, mm-hmm. get to three, mm-hmm. or on my count down from three, or just on go, or, you know, whatever you work out between yourselves, about how that happens. And again, even with a lift off, or like you're saying, sometimes needing to help guide the bar back in, the lifter is doing the work. It's not, you know, the spotter's mainly just guiding in and out of the J cups. But then, you know, for the, I think with bench, maybe more so than with squat, this idea of kind of not being in the way or not interfering is a bigger deal. So if you do get a lift off, if you're the spotter and you give a handoff, then kind of back up a little bit. Because in the case of squat, a person is looking at the floor in front of them. Maybe out of their peripheral vision, they might see the spotter next to the plates.
Right.
But if you're talking about one spotter in bench who's like hovering over your face, that's pretty distracting. And especially if you've got, you know, your start-stop position marked out with some mark up on the ceiling that you're guiding to and from as the lifter, and you can't see that because you're looking up your spotter's nostrils, like, that's not cool. So if you're the spotter, you know, and you give the handoff, then back up a little bit. And then again, it's just the lifter, even if they think they're not gonna, you know, if they think they're not gonna return the bar. I mean, there could be a catastrophic situation where they're suddenly unable to return the bar, but more often than not, it's a situation where the bar stops making upward progress, or maybe it starts to make a little bit of slow downward progress. If the spotter see that, then you jump in regardless of what your lifter says. But more often than not, the lifter is going to have this sense like, okay, it's stuck, not moving, and they'll, sort of indicate to the spotter, okay, I need help, or okay, not going to make it. And so then the lifter again is still responsible for supporting, returning a percentage of the weight of the bar. Lifter or the spotter takes over a percentage of that weight. So it just sort of makes the weight on the bar a little more manageable for the lifter at that particular point, not something that they completely get to forfeit. And I guess, I mean, that's about it. Is that like, you were going to add something?
Oh, I definitely want to add something. So, I mean, we're talking about, you know, how important, you know, like learning how to spot is. And as Rebecca said, you know, stepping back after you've given a handoff, I step as far back as I need to. And if I know the person's, you know, going to make it, and I'm just there to, you know, in case something goes wrong, I'll stand there with my hands in my pockets. I'll stand with a cup of coffee in my hand.
Oh, you're very
I've got my knitting. In my hand.
You couldn't be more casual about it.
I've got knitting under my arm. I'm casually knitting while they're, I don't knit, but I'll hold the knitting. And if I see like something starting, I'll put the knitting down. I will put the knitting down. The cup of coffee and the knitting will go down. But I'm, you know, I don't want to interfere with their work. Like, this is their time. I'm not going to take a rep from the person. And you know, the whole thing about the whole, you know, upright row thing, like, that's just a joke. I mean, really, if you're benching and you know you can handle that weight, it should be you. It's you. If you can't handle that weight, you shouldn't be benching it. And your friend shouldn't be getting his or her workout in as, you know, as a result. But something Rebecca was talking about is like the lifter's responsibility of putting the bar back in the rack, you know, with the spotter. I've had a couple occasions, not so much with my younger lifters, but with my older lifters. And I love my older lifters, and I'm not going to, you know, give them up, of course, but they have to understand not to let go of the bar. Don't do that. Don't ever let go of your bar. Your spotter does not have that weight in his or her hand. I mean, even if it's like 85 pounds and I can hold 85 pounds.
I don't even know how like a self-preservation instinct doesn't kick in. Like, why
it
would you?
I know. That thing is holding, is hovering over your chest, over your head. And I'm over top of it. And I grab the bar, and I kid you not, I've had my mother let go. Oh my God, I yelled at her.
Let go to the degree that she could like scratch your nose or something. No hand on the bar.
Like I literally have, and all of a sudden I've got like, you know, 60 pounds in my hand over top of her. And I'm thinking, woman, I could drop this right on you. It is your responsibility to keep your hands on that bar and put that bar back in the rack.
Back to this, like, communication is key. Have the conversations beforehand, not in the middle.
don't let go of your bar when you're benching. Oh, okay. Well,
I guess if it's somebody that, you know, habitually does this, then you have that conversation every single time.
You have to. You're like, don't let go of the bar. Right? If you want me to spot you, I will. But if something happens and I take your bar and then you let go thinking, well, I've got the weight in my hands. Now it's out of my hands. It's literally out of your hands. I may not be able to hold on to that. I don't care how strong, right? So don't do that. Don't let go of the bar. I know it sounds silly to say that, but I've had a couple of people do that to me. They just let go of the bar. And I have to tell them, don't do that. You do that again, I'm going to kick you out of my gym. I don't care that you're my mother.
So wait, has your mom only done that once then?
She's done it twice.
Oh boy.
But now she doesn't do it anymore.
Oh good. Now she's got it. Yeah.
She's got it now. She also handles just the right weight. Like she doesn't, and if something does happen, I yell at her and make her finish the rep.
So you've worked it out amongst yourself. I feel like, Emily, I feel like this is really more like a mother-daughter lifter coach.
Possibly. I've had someone else do that. No, I had someone else. I had like one of my other lifters do that to me. But typically it has been my mom. And I tell people when they come in, they hear me interacting with her, I'll say to them, that's my mother. So if you hear me talking to her a certain way, don't think that's how I talk to all my lifters. It's just my mother. And they go, oh, okay. Cause I'm like over there going, what are you doing? Why'd you do that? I told you that wasn't the right way to do it. So it's like, wow, Emily's not really nice to any of her lifters. Like,
I don't think I want to come to this gym.
I don't think I want to come to this gym.
Really mean.
So yeah. So be responsible, as with the squat, tell your spotter, I'm going for two, I'm going for one, whatever it is. And definitely have a safe word, right? Help. That's a good one. Or I don't have this, you know, but I've had to teach my clients how to spot. I did commend, Jack's best friend. So my nephew, when he visited this past summer, his best friend came in for a couple of days and he came to the gym with him, and Henry's never done any kind of lifting before. So I taught him how to lift, and he was spotting Jack on the bench. And Jack was lifting and Henry was standing back, just kind of watching him, just looking at him, just waiting and kind of, you know. And then when Jack finished, I think he helped him get the bar back in the rack. And I said, Henry, excellent spotting. I said, you know, great job benching, Jack. And Henry, excellent spotting, because he just did it. He wasn't kind of over top of him. You got it, bro. Come on, bro. That's actually not who Henry is either. He's a really chill kid, which I like.
Come on,
bro. But he was just hanging back there. And I've had to teach a couple people, like, don't touch that bar. Don't reach for that bar. Like, I mean, you start to see the bar kind of starting to slow down, and people's instinct is to want to like throw their hands under the bar. Don't do that. Just either coach them through it, push, you know, if it's coming up, even if it's coming up slow and it's still coming up, it's coming up. You will see if it goes down, the person will start shaking their head.
Yeah.
And say at the bar. So don't
say for it. I'm usually like, nope. But I've never like gone so far as to hold coffee or knit while I'm spotting someone on bench. But I do stand there with my hands behind my back, and I do that on purpose because that is the spotter's instinct. Like, or at least that's my spotting instinct, is to wanna, you know, put hands on the bar. So it's like that happens, and then the only result or change that the, you know, is like my hands are now in front of my body instead of behind. And so it kind of slow, you know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find myself, I'll stand back pretty far. And then as the set goes on and I see maybe the bar starting to slow down a bit or the lifter, I might move a little further, right? I'll take my leg and I'll move closer. But my hands go nowhere near that bar, nowhere near that bar. And I will watch my mother suffer through a rep before I will take that bar from her, right? I mean, I will watch people and it will be slow and I'll just come on. Uh-huh. Yep. Good. Rack, you know, then I'll take my hands and I'll help them rack the bar. I'm not going to get my hands in there. I will watch someone really work to get that rep. If that rep, if that bar is moving back.
Finally do put your hands on the bar, they let go, Emily.
No.
You're not up by that point.
Why'd you take that bar? Yeah. That's something that you do have to teach. You do have to teach that. I have watched one of my lifters once get stuck under the bar and one of the other guys straddle him. straddle him over the bench and grab the bar and like do it upright, you know, do like a deadlift off, you know, like an upright row. And I'm like, okay, that's not what you want to do. Don't do that. Also, if the lifters, the bar is like on on their chest or on their, and they haven't set their spotter arms up properly, don't start like lifting up one side if no one's on the other side.
That's essentially just like you're helping them dump the bar.
Yeah, just get behind them and make them, you know, and grab it and make them bench it up to you, right? I mean, yes, dumping the bar is a good, but let the lifter dump the bar. You don't dump the bar for them, right? So,
and also, I don't think you want to dump the bar if you have a spotter as an option.
No. So you know, so just be mindful of you as a the spotter, what your responsibility is, and how to safely help somebody. You know, I'll see somebody with the bar like on the spotter arms, or maybe like even touching their chest a bit. And I'm like, someone didn't set their spotter arms up correctly. I'm giving them a lecture and they're like, I don't need a lecture. Just get the bar off of me. I'm like, okay. So yeah, it's just, you know, common sense on both ends, which sometimes isn't quite there. So, you know, have to be taught. It's okay. Don't let go of the bar. I have to say that over and over again. Don't let go of the bar. Bad idea. Can you imagine if someone did that at a competition? I don't think anyone's ever done that.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. Emily, you know, like that's the only time I've ever really heard of that. I just feel like if you've got a heavy bar over your face, you're just not going to.
It's weird. I think the person just gets scared and they see like the hands come out. So it's like, oh, well, that person has it. It's the same thing as throwing the bar off your back. I mean, it'll just immediately get you disqualified.
I mean, like if you're throwing the bar off your back, that could seem like a self-preservation thing. Like you're getting it away from you. If the bar,
I think letting go of the bar is like, if you know the person all of a sudden has it in their hands, it's like, I don't know. All I know is it's happened a couple times to me. Yeah. And it was like, I was like, don't do that. So that's it. Yeah. But I think that's about it as far as, spotting goes. I mean, you know, you want to make sure that you're just, you know, you're out of the person's way, out of their line of sight, and you're there you're there as needed. But the lifter has to be responsible for communicating when you should grab the bar, how many reps they're doing, and, you know, and that if they do need your help, you know, what they need to communicate as far as like, get the bar off my chest, kind of like, you know, help me out of this. Because they may want to grind that rep out. And if you grab the bar too soon and they really weren't needing it, they might get mad at you. So just communication, always key.
Yeah.
Always key. I don't think I have much more to say about the bench or the squat. I think that's, it pretty much covers it on my end. But always good topics to address, because safety is, we don't often think about that. Sometimes in the gym, we think, well, I'm here and I've got this rack and I've got people around me, but it's everybody's responsibility to kind of be aware all the time of, you know, of what's happening, you know, where you are within your space. So, other topics that, our listener had were also great. And we're going to discuss those. One of them was about coming back from an illness, which I thought was a great, great topic. I don't think we've ever. Vacation or an injury, but an actual illness. I think an illness kind of goes along with an injury, but there are even more things to think about, I think, if you've been sick. But very similar probably to coming back from like an injury. And I think there was asked about any of our interviews. For those of you who are new to the 5x3 radio podcast, if you haven't listened to some of our podcasts from a few years ago, but we have interviewed Manny a couple times, who's my master powerlifter, who's got a meet coming up in a month, November. We have interviewed Kelly, one of our strongwoman competitors. We did an interview with her. So that was a request. Yes, we're going to probably come back with a podcast on illness. We'll see if we can get Fred in for a podcast on mental health and training, because he's the professional on this matter. And any comments or questions or concerns you have, or topics, you know, other topics, we're always open to having topics. Rebecca and I kind of discuss via text. So what's the topic this week? And we go, good question. What is the topic this week? So we always want to keep it obviously strength related, but we also want to make it more, related to anything you're going through, what you're going through in your own training, so that it makes you get the most out of the experience listening to us. And hopefully we've been able to help you in the gym, either a commercial gym or at home. And I know the last podcast we did, safety, I got a lot of people responding to that one, saying thank you for that. And one of my members went down a rabbit hole of videos of watching people fail.
That's dangerous.
I know. I said, don't do that. Don't do that.
So that. Like, there's no reason to be scared of more things in the world.
No. I think it was more of just like, it was like, what? Someone's actually done that. It was kind of like this revelation of like, who's done that? Who's not been, you know, sensible? Be sensible. I mean, anything can happen. Be sensible. But yeah, don't go down the rabbit hole of YouTube videos, you know, people crushed under a bar. Bad idea. So again, send us any topics you have. You can always email me at emily@5x3.com. You can also send me a message through our Facebook Messenger. I don't check that too often, but I do check it. So you can send it there. Email is probably best, because I check that way more often than I check my Facebook Messenger. And you can reach Rebecca at
cornerstonestrengthmaryland@gmail.com.
So either one of us, please let us know. Again, Strong and Together, our partner strength meet is coming up in December, December 3rd. Our fundraiser will start in November. That'll be my birthday month fundraising for the music therapy program at Gilchrist Hospice in Towson here in Maryland. And Strong and Together is a partners meet. We've got quite a few people already signed up, so I'm excited about that. Should always be a good time and for a good, very good cause. So you can find a link for that in our show notes. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with some discussion on training after an illness. And if you have thoughts about that, or you know, some things that you really want us to discuss in more detail before we get there, let us know. Thanks, Rebecca. Thanks, everybody. And have a great week.
Take care.
Bye. Bye. Thank you. Thanks for listening to 5x3 Radio with Emily and Rebecca. If you like our show and want to know more about 5x3 training, please visit us at www.5, that's F-I-V-E, the letter X, the number 3.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. To learn more about Rebecca, please visit her website, cornerstonestrengthmaryland.com. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.